Can you guys help me out here and talk to me a little bit? Satan's plan of evil. You know, Satan, the word Satan means adversary. He became the adversary of God, and he had a plan of evil, and we studied that in Isaiah 14, the fivefold plan of evil. We did a whole lesson on that. But it really culminated with this key statement. I want y'all to finish it for me. Satan said, I will be like the Most High. I'm going to be like God. I'm going to function like God. I'm going to get a foothold in the heavenly and earthly realm, and I'm going to function in a position of authority and a position of power. So he wanted to usurp power that God didn't give him. Well, he knew he needed recruits, and so he recruited many of the angelic host to join him, and thus he became the prince of the power of the air. He got a foothold in that heavenly realm and became the prince meaning ruler, prince of the power of the air. That's what Paul called him. And then Jesus called him the prince of this world. Why? Because he also usurped the earthly domain from Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were supposed to govern the earth. Man was supposed to govern the earth. Satan deceives them into the rebellion. And Satan usurps that and is now at liberty to be able to take his policy of evil and implement it in the earthly realm. And that's exactly what he did. But you remember that in the midst of this, when Satan activated his plan of evil and recruited the angelic hosts and recruited Adam and Eve into the rebellion, you remember God's response to that? Genesis 3:15, that great prophetic promise. When God said to Satan that from the seed of the woman, he was going to crush Satan's head. He was going to put Satan out of business, and he's going to do it through the seed of the woman. God said, I'm still going to use man for that purpose that I had for him originally. Well, we know that immediately Satan went on the offensive. And I mean, the battle was on now. And so God basically let Satan know, I'm not going to succumb to this. I'm not going to give in to you. You're not going to have free reign. So I'm going to bring forth from the seed of the woman a seed that will crush your head. Well, Satan immediately went on the offensive. And we studied out Genesis 4 through 11. And we saw how that Satan had the seed killed, murdered. And we saw Cain's murder of Abel. Genesis 6, we studied out a whole week about the sons of God coming into the daughters of men. And how the entire human race was corrupted. And it all basically came down to just 8 people, Noah and his family. God starts over with them. But then by Genesis 11, we see that the whole world's gathered together. They're constructing the Tower of Babel. And what I want you to see tonight and remind you of is that when God scattered those people by confounding their languages, they took the Babylonish pagan idolatrous religion with them. And so God, in Genesis 12, God has left the nations right where he left them at the Tower of Babel. He leaves them in their idolatry. They're following the course of this world. They're following Satan's plan of evil. They're walking in their own ways, following Satan's course. Satan's thinking he's having his way, man. All the nations of the earth are corrupt. Genesis 1 describes them as God gave them over to a reprobate mind. They worshiped and served the creature. We saw that was Satan more than the creator. And so they're in pagan idolatry. God leaves them right there. And in Genesis 12, which is where I had you turn, God starts over and singles out one man. And I want you to look at it with me. Genesis 12, 1. It says, now the Lord, by the way, I just summarized about 10 weeks of studies in 5 minutes. The 10 weeks of study that we started all the way back with Satan's plan of evil, and then we saw his plan activated. We saw Satan's policy of evil. And I mean, we spent weeks on this, okay? But now in Genesis 12, which is where we were last week, we see that God starts over with a man by the name of Abram. Look at Genesis 12, 1. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. and in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. God takes one man, Abram. He doesn't take a country. Remember, they've been given up to idolatry, to a reprobate mind. God takes one man. He takes that man, separates him from his country, all the associations with that country, and he brings him into an entirely different land area. From Abram, God is going to bring forth a nation that would be his own people. This nation was going to function in the midst of all these other nations who were wholly given over to Satan's plan and policy of evil, given over to idolatry and to unbelievable wickedness. And so God takes Abram from his country, transplants him in a land that God took him to. It was a land that God claimed for himself and from which he would now operate in the midst of the earth. I've got a PowerPoint slide here that I showed you last week. And when we talk about that promised land, that land, that area that God promised Abraham, let's go ahead and click it a few times here, and please. And you'll notice that, stop right there a second. That little blue, that's the current land of Israel, okay? And then we started bringing on all the countries around it. Go ahead and do that now. We brought in, we brought in all these other countries, and we looked at all those last week. But we showed you that the actual promised land is that yellow area right there. We think of Israel as that little blue sliver that we saw earlier. This is the land between the rivers. This is the land area that God promised to Abraham. And God, this nation was going to be God's instrument on the earth by which he would accomplish his will for the earth's repossession and for the destruction of Satan's plan of evil. We said last week that Abraham and Sarah could not generate children on their own. They could not even have one child. So by God's actions, God brought forth the nation of Israel to be his own nation, to be for his glory in the earth, in like manner to when he originally created Adam on the earth. And so Israel was to procure for God in the earth that which belongs to God. That is the rightful praise and honor and glory that is due him as the Most High. Last week we looked at Genesis 13, if you want to flip over there. And this is just review here. Genesis 13. And you remember we said that God had Abraham do something very special not long after he brought him into this land area that you see on the screen. Verse 17. Genesis 13, 17. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Last week we studied this out and we saw and called this the gesture of possession. He had Abraham walk up and down, to and fro, throughout all this land area. Not just a sightseeing tour, but rather this was a gesture of possession. Satan performed the same gesture of possession for the entire earth. We looked at how that Satan walks up and down, to and fro, all throughout the earth. Why? It's a gesture of possession. Satan usurped it from Adam. He's the prince of this world. He's the ruler of this world. And so Satan walks up and down, to and fro. I'm the boss. I'm the prince. I'm the ruler of this earth. So God brings Abraham into the land, has him walk up and down, to and fro, all throughout the land. He has Abram walk throughout it. And basically, God is bringing the battle right into Satan's own backyard. This is the place right here that God over and over talks about the Canaanites and their wickedness and their ungodly abominations and their vileness and their filth. It's as if Satan set up a base of operations right here in this area. God brings Abraham into it, has him walk up and down, to and fro. Believe me, Satan noticed. A gesture of possession. It's as if God is saying, Abram is my man. He's my man. I'm giving him this land. There's a new boss in town. It may be a while, but eventually his seed's going to take this land, and God's kingdom is going to fill this earth, and this land is going to be my headquarters to put you out of business, Satan. With the calling out of Abram, God was taking the battle to Satan, so to speak. In the midst of the nations, following Satan's plan of evil, God creates his own nation, the nation of Israel, through which He's going to establish his kingdom on this earth and provide for its repossession and the blessing of the world. Now, there's another key event. We saw the gesture of possession. Let's go to another key event that has great significance in God's plan and purpose. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 28 now. Let's turn over there. Genesis 28. This event revolves around Abraham's grandson, Jacob. Genesis 28. You had Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. Genesis 28. And let's look at verse number 12. Genesis 28, 12. It says, "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it." So he's got this dream. Jacob sees this vision, this dream, and there's this giant ladder that reaches from this spot on the earth that where he's at, and it goes up into the heavens. He sees angels ascending and descending on it. Verse 13. "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it." He confirms the Abrahamic covenant and to thy seed. So he confirms that Abrahamic covenant, those promises. Verse 14. It says, "And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." And then Jacob awakes. Now, we'll read on in a minute. But God appears to Jacob in a dream. Not only was it confirmed that the covenant that God made with Abraham and his dad Isaac was being carried on with him, but God impressed upon Jacob the significance of his plan and purpose in the covenant. You say, "Well, Pastor Dan, what about this ladder business? And what about this ladder reaching up into heaven and the angels of God going up and down on it? What is that all about? What's the meaning? What's the purpose of this?" This gave Jacob a visual picture of what that Abrahamic covenant was all about. You see, this land area promised to Jacob and to Isaac, his dad, and to his grandfather Abraham, this land area was to be the place where God would dwell on the earth with man. In it, he would establish his residence and his kingdom. The angels of God would travel back and forth from heaven to earth, conducting the business of God from this dwelling place in this land. The kingdom of heaven would be established on the earth in this land. If we could bring that picture back up, the kingdom of heaven would be established on the earth in this land. Think about this with me. Jesus taught the 12 apostles who ministered to Israel. He taught them to pray what? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," where? "On earth as it is in heaven." And so Jacob has this ladder going from earth to heaven, angels of God ascending and descending, and it's this visual image of that. That the kingdom of heaven was going to be established on the earth in this land. Go to Genesis 28 and look at verse 16. Notice how Jacob understood this. Look at verse 16. "And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is what? In this place, and I knew it not." When he said that God is in this place, he doesn't just mean talking about God's omnipresence. You know, God's everywhere. No, he understood that God was actively in that place and that God had a definite purpose in it for himself. Notice that he said, "This is none other." Go ahead and go to verse 17. He was afraid and he said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the what? House of God." And indeed it was. This is the house of God. In other words, the dwelling place of God. This is the dwelling place of God. God marked him out a piece of real estate on this earth. And God said, that's the place that I am ultimately going to accomplish my original purpose with man. And I am going to dwell, I'm going to tabernacle with man. This will be the center. This will be the center of that kingdom. This will be the center of my plan and my purpose. This is the place. And that's why he said, this is none other but the house of God. Truly, when Jesus Christ comes back to set up that kingdom and to put Satan out of business, and Satan's put in the bottomless pit. You remember at the second coming of Christ to earth, what does he do? He lands on the Mount of Olives in this land. This mount sets up the kingdom in Jerusalem. And the blessings flow out of this land area to the nations. This is the house of God. This is the place where God will tabernacle. Then you fast forward to after the millennium, when you have a new heaven and new earth, a renovation, if you will, of the heavens and the earth. And when it's renovated, what happens? The new Jerusalem comes down, and again, God is going to come. Let's go ahead and bring that up, Revelation 21, 2 and 3. And I, John, saw the holy city, new what? New Jerusalem. See, coming down from God out of what? Remember, the angels of God ascending and descending on that ladder. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle, the house of God is with men. And he will dwell, what's the next two words? With them. See, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Jacob is getting a visual image of God's plan, ultimate plan and purpose. That's why God said, Jacob said, this is none other but the house of God. Man, I'm in the place. This is going to be the sea. In fact, look at this. Look at verse 17. I didn't finish reading it because I wanted to focus on the last part of that too. It says, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And look what he says. This land area I'm in, it's the what? Gate of heaven. What does that mean? Well, the gate of a place often refers to its governmental power and its rule. That's the idea of the word gate, of governmental rule and governmental power. Go back to Genesis 22. Let me remind you of what we looked at last week. Look at Genesis 22. Look what God told Abraham. Genesis 22 and verse number 17. Genesis 22, 17. Are you there? Say amen to me. All right. So look at this. It says, Genesis 22, 17. God told Abraham that in blessing, he's confirming that covenant from Genesis 12. He says that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed, Abraham, thy seed shall possess the what? The gate of his enemies. You see, gate refers to that governmental power and that governmental rule. And truly, go back to Genesis 18 real quick. Look at Genesis 18, 18. Genesis 18, 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. You see, as Jacob is there in that land area, and he sees the ladder, he says, man, this is the house of God. This is the dwelling place of God. This is it. This is the gate of heaven. This is the seat. He's getting a glimpse into the fact that this land area was to be the seat of God's government, God's heavenly government established on the earth. The business of God was to be conducted from God's dwelling place in this land. The kingdom of heaven would come to earth and would have its headquarters right in this place where Jacob is. Jacob understood that. Go with me back to Genesis 28 and look what it says here. Genesis 28 and look at verse 19. Genesis 28, 19. It says here, and he called the name of that place, and what is the name, church? Bethel. Do you know what the name Bethel means? It means house of God. House of God. You see, here's what I'm getting at, church. Listen, We've been following this thing through the summer. And we saw Satan's plan of evil. It was up here. But then from here, he had to implement it. And so he begins to implement his plan of evil. And he recruits and he's got that foothold as the prince of the power of the air, the heavenly realm. But then he's got the earthly realm. He's the prince of this world. And mankind was given the earth to govern. Satan is the great usurper. He usurps it from man. He's the prince, meaning ruler, of this world. Now, all of a sudden, the nations are given over to idolatry. They're following the course, as Paul said, the course of this world. All the nations are following the course of this world. They're following the course that Satan's laid out. So God leaves them right where he left them at the Tower of Babel. God doesn't try to take a nation and reform it. He's given them over to a reprobate mind. What does God do? Takes one man, takes him out of the country he's in, transplants him into this area that God's marked off as the place where he's going to dwell with man, where he's going to set up his kingdom, brings Abraham there, has him walk up and down, to and fro, all throughout it as a gesture of possession. This is the place. Then Jacob has this dream, and he sees, as he's in this land area, a ladder going all the way up to heaven with angels ascending and descending. And he realizes that this land area that I'm in, it's the house of God. This is where God's going to tabernacle with man. This is the gate of heaven. This is the seat of God's government that he's going to establish in the Abrahamic covenant that he promised to my grandpa, Abraham. And he's getting a glimpse into the fact that this is God's dwelling place. This is the seat of the government of God. This is the place where the business of God will be conducted on this earth. The kingdom of heaven will come to earth and have its headquarters right here. And Jacob calls it Bethel, the house of God. There's another key event that I want to look at tonight. Go to Genesis 32. Just go a few chapters to the right. Genesis 32, and look at verse number 24. Now, the background of this event is the whole problem with Jacob and his brother Esau, and you know that how he had to flee from him. Esau was going to kill him. Then he's going to come back, and he's going to have to meet Esau face to face. And look at Genesis 32, 24. It says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what's thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but what? Israel. For as a prince. Hey, what's Satan's title? Prince. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Here we have another event that would confirm God's plan and purpose for Jacob and for his seed. This experience that Jacob had not only demonstrated God's purpose with him, but Jacob received a name change that would from now on testify to God's plan and purpose, both to himself and to the nation that was beginning to develop with him. You say, why Israel? Well, notice that verse. He said, thy name, verse 28, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. And then notice he says, for as a what? Prince. Hast thou what? Power. You know what the name Israel means? It means a prince or ruler of God. One with whom God rules or will rule. When Satan heard this, it had to infuriate him. Because Satan has this title as the prince of this world. That's how he could offer to Christ the kingdoms of this world. And Jesus didn't correct him. He offered it legitimately. Why? He's the prince of this world. And when he heard that, you know his ears perked up. And you know it had to infuriate him. Why do you think Satan has always tried to destroy the nation of Israel? Do you understand that now? You look through your Bible, there were times when it got down to barely a few, right? Or to one. I mean, it infuriated. Why do you think he tried to do everything he could to murder and kill Christ? Listen, Satan knows what the name Israel means. He knows God's plan and purpose. God's prophesied it and made it known since the world began, the Bible says, what his plan and purpose is to dwell with man on this earth. Now he reveals, as we go through Genesis, God's got a channel, a vehicle through which he's going to repossess the earth. God says, I've got a plan, I've got a purpose here, and Abraham, there's going to be a nation, there's going to be a seed that I'm going to bring about. Abraham and Sarah couldn't even do it on their own. He said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to bring forth a nation. That's why he called Israel his firstborn son. He said, I'm going to bring forth a nation, and there's going to be a channel through which they're going to be Israel, prince, ruler of God. The name conveys the idea that the one so named, Israel, is God's ruler, God's prince, one through whom God would reign supreme or will reign supreme. So God said, here, I've got a plan, I've got a purpose, I've got a channel and a vehicle through which to accomplish it. I'm bringing forth a nation. Well, that all makes sense now, doesn't it? Because God told Abraham that a great nation would come from him. Great meaning powerful. Great meaning that they would be supreme in power over the other nations. A great nation. Powerful nation. That's what the word great means. This great nation is now being developed through Jacob here in Genesis. And would be God's ruler on earth. Through it, God would reign supreme on the earth. The power of God would be with this nation. Think about it. Just as with Jacob wrestling. Did you see that? He said in verse 28, Jacob, he said, no more but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men. So the power of God would be with this nation, this seed that would come from Jacob, just as Jacob, the power of God was with Jacob in the wrestling. Not only that, it would prevail. Look at verse 28. What's the very end of verse 28 say, church? Stay with me now, just a couple minutes. And hast what? Prevailed. So this nation, this seed, would prevail on this earth, just as Jacob prevailed in the wrestling. And so would provide. Israel would prevail and would provide for the establishment of God's dominion over this earth. So God changes his name from Jacob to Israel, ruler of God. Now, can anybody tell me this? From Jacob's loins would come how many sons? 12 sons. From those 12 sons would come the 12 what? Tribes of Israel. They would be the nation of God's rulership and dominion on and over the earth. So now I want you to see this, okay? Genesis 3:15 comes the great prophetic promise that God is still going to accomplish through man his purpose of dwelling with man on this earth. And that God would work through man to govern this earth. He lets Satan know that it's from the seed of the woman that this is going to happen. But at that point, that's all he reveals. You've got Satan fighting left and right, Genesis 4, Genesis 6, Genesis 11. And I mean, he's like that close to just totally prevailing, right? It's down to Noah. And then at Tower of Babel, all the nations are corrupt. They're all vile and wicked and idolatrous and worshiping the creature more than the creator. And then God takes one man again, takes him to this land area, and starts over, and his focus is on one man, Abraham. Abraham has Isaac, Isaac has Jacob, and Jacob prevails, power with God. God changes his name to Israel. This nation would be a nation of God's rulership and dominion on and over the earth. You see, with Israel, God's going to establish his kingdom on this earth through which he will destroy Satan's usurped dominion. Through Israel, God's going to rule and reign over the earth. But remember, the Bible says they're going to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Out of them will flow the knowledge of God's ways, his past for the nations of the world to walk in. And in turn, the nations of the earth are going to find their blessing by God in Israel as they serve the Lord and as they serve Israel in the kingdom. The Lord is ultimately going to be king over all the earth. Zechariah 14 says, "The Lord shall be king over all the earth." Satan's plan of evil will be destroyed and removed. To that end, God created the nation of Israel. The repossession of the earth is God's purpose with them. Now, how would Satan respond to God's plan? Well, he didn't take this lion down. You see, Satan had all the other nations under his control. Now he has to contend with this nation that's not numbered with the rest of the nations. This is a nation of God's creation. Now he's got to contend with them. By the way, do you think he will find a way to contend with them? We'll find out. Because we're going to continue the series, as I said. Okay, we're going to finish this up. As we go through, but we're not going to get in a hurry. We're going to continue to go through. So let's go ahead and stop there for tonight. That's a good stopping place. And we will pick this up next time we're together. All right? All righty. Well, have you enjoyed the Wednesday night series this summer? Hadn't it? It's been good, hadn't it? And amen. I've had so many people, you know, comment on what a blessing that it's been. A lot of folks listening online and said what a blessing that it's been. And so I'm thankful for that. It's been a joy to teach it. I'm looking forward. We're going to continue. By the way, today, the church, the body of Christ that God's forming today, are we Israel? No. Well, what's God? We know God's plan and purpose for Israel, right? Prince, ruler of God. We know that they're the channel through which he's going to establish his kingdom on this earth. He's going to repossess the earth through the channel of Israel. Well, what about the church, the body of Christ? Does he have a plan and purpose for us? Yes, and we're going to study that in the coming weeks. We're going to see where we fit into all this, okay?